In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Come through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Come through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. In the night seasons and all the day long.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I like the hymns of the faith. Amen. That speaks to my heart. And I'll tell you, when you've been through some trials and testings, you enjoy the hymns of the faith because that's where they were born. Now, you can have your modern contemporary music. I'll take the hymns of the faith because they speak to my heart, and the Holy Spirit of God works through those and speaking to my heart. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight in this Revival Fires Conference, to be with Brother Coral and these preachers, and then, of course, to be with Brother Vineyard. It meant a lot to me personally. It meant a lot to our church for Brother Vineyard to come to our place on September 13th on Friday night, and then stay for the Veterans Luncheon on Saturday, and to stand with our people. We had been under about a 60-day attack by the liberals throughout our state and so forth. And we had a patriotic rally, and they didn't like what was said. All I said was, is we have a Bible in America. We have a constitution. We have a Declaration of Independence. And you're welcome to come from any nation that you want to America, but leave your Bibles, your constitutions, all of that stuff behind and come to America. And I believe if you can't put your hand over your heart and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, you don't have any business being here. That's just what I believe. And they didn't like that. And but anyway, I believe it. I still believe it. They've given me about 3 chances to recant, and all 3 times I've had the privilege to say it again. And so that's been a blessing. But I appreciate Brother Vineyard. He's been a counselor to me and helped me. There have been times I didn't know exactly what to say in response to the media, and he's been a real help to me. He got me in a little more trouble, and I like that. I was writing an article. They asked me to write an article, and I was talking to Brother Vineyard about it. He said, you know a good line to put in there? He said, this sounds like the same crowd. It sounds like the same Jane Fonda, Ted Kennedy crowd. He said, put that in your article. And I did. They didn't like that either. But anyway, I do appreciate his friendship. It's a joy to be here tonight and to be in this church. I appreciate this church and the testimony that it has, a testimony that's unchanging. And we don't need to be changing. We need encouragement. We need churches that'll take a stand and stand for truth and stand for what's right. And I appreciate that, and that means a lot to our church. And it's a joy to be here. I appreciate you coming. It's Monday evening. I'm sure that many of you rushed to get here, maybe after work. I'm glad that you were able to make it to the service tonight and go the extra mile to be in a conference, and that's a blessing. There was a man who got on a passenger train years ago, and he said to the porter, he said, here's $20. I want you to wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, I have to get off the train at 4 o'clock. He said, if I miss the 4 o'clock stop, I'm going to lose money on a business deal. I need you to wake me up. The man said, that's no problem, and I don't need $20. That's my job. I'll wake you up. Now, he said, I'm the hardest man in the world to wake up. He said, you may have to pour water on me. You may have to slap me. You may have to roll me out of the bed, but I've got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, all right. He took his $20. The next morning, about 8:30, the man woke up. The train was barreling down the track. Sun was shining. Boy, was he mad. He went looking for that porter. I mean, he was mad. He found him in the restaurant car. He began to scream, began to yell. He hit him. He whipped him right there and stomped off. They said to the porter, they said, I believe that's the maddest man I've ever seen. And the porter said, no, I believe the fella I put off the train at 4 o'clock this morning was madder than he was. So I hope that you came on your own will tonight. I'm glad that you're here. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I'm not mad. I'm glad to be here and to be in church. If you'll stand, please, we're going to read the first 6 verses of Matthew chapter 15 this evening. Matthew 15:1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment? Notice there, the commandment of God by your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. I'm going to preach this evening on the subject truth or tradition. Truth or tradition. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless, Lord, in the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I know that in man there is no ability. Lord, we can speak to the ears, but Lord, that'll not change our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to speak through the Word of God to our hearts. And I pray that your will would be accomplished tonight in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was preaching in a Bible conference, and on Tuesday after the morning service, the church had a luncheon, and a fellow who had just taken the church, his first church, a few months before that, a graduate of a well-known Bible college, he said, "Brother Fugit, can I sit beside you? I'd like to ask you some questions about church. I've just taken a church up in Wisconsin, and I would like to ask you some questions." I said, "Sure, that'd be fine." We talked for a little while about church, church growth, church ideas, and then he said, "Let me ask you this question." He said, "Brother Fugit, who can take part in the Lord's Supper at church?" And I said, "I'm not sure I understand the question." Sounded a bit too simple for a Bible college graduate, a pastor, to ask. He said, "Who can take part in the Lord's Supper?" I said, "Are you asking about closed or open communion?" He said, "No, I don't know what you mean by that." He said, "There's a lot of Lutherans in our area, and they visit our church sometimes. Is it okay if a Lutheran or an unsaved person wants to take communion? Is it okay for them to take communion?" I was surprised. You ought to be surprised. I was surprised. I couldn't believe that a Bible college graduate did not know who was qualified to take part in communion service. He didn't know that a person needed to be saved and a baptized member of the church. Now, the honest truth is, there was a day when any church member, not just a pastor, but any church member, was grounded enough in the Word of God that they would know the answer to that question. Now, the man was saved as a boy, and he grew up in a good church, and he had taken part in communion many times. Yet, communion was only a tradition to him, and he never learned the truth behind the practice of communion in the local church. Now, there are many Christians today who are doing what they do by tradition only and not by knowledge of the Word of God. Especially a second generation Christian like myself. My dad was a Baptist preacher. I grew up in a Christian home, and if we're not careful, we just follow the steps of our parents, and we never get into the Bible to find the truth of the Word of God, and we just follow a tradition. Now, here's the danger in that. If we practice what we do in the local church by tradition, it will eventually be challenged by a changing society, by political correctness. It'll eventually be challenged by liberalism, and if we stand only on tradition, we'll change that practice in the local church. Now, a lot of things are changing in the local church today. And the reason being is too many Christians are just going along with the crowd, just following a tradition rather than knowing the truth of the Word of God. Christians are spending more time watching television and doing other things like that than actually reading and studying the Word of God. You can go down to the so-called Christian bookstore and get a book on how to have your devotions in 60 seconds. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can microwave a lot of things, but you can't speed up your walk with God. The scribes and Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus and they said, "We've got a problem." Jesus said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, your disciples are not keeping the tradition of the elders." He said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, they don't wash their hands when they eat bread." My boys are a lot like these disciples, where they don't like to wash their hands before they eat. And my wife will say, "Boys, go wash your hands." And they'll come back with the palms wiped, and the rest of it in the dirt's running down their arms. And mama will say, "Did you use soap?" Get back in there in that kitchen and or back in there in that bathroom and wash your hands. And my boys had the same problem the disciples did. And they challenged Jesus because the disciples did not follow a tradition. Jesus said, "I'd like to ask you a question. Why don't you follow the truth? You base what you do on tradition. The disciples are following the truth." The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Now, we live in a day where many folks know a lot of religious practice or a lot of religious tradition, but when that tradition is challenged by a changing society and folks don't know why they do what they do, then they go ahead and change that practice. For example, I love America. I grew up in a home, a school, a part of the country where America was loved and honored. There was nobody that burned flags around us growing up, and that would not have been a wise or safe thing to do, to burn an American flag around us. I grew up loving America, and the activities of patriotism was not just a tradition. It was based on truth. It was based on a study and a knowledge of American history. And sad to say, we're losing our freedoms in America because we don't know the truths of American history. Many say today that America was founded on liberalism or secularism. I disagree. The United States of America was founded on the principles of the Word of God. Now, America was, the freedom of America was paid for with a high price. America was founded on the sacrifice of godly men. America was founded on the principles of the Word of God. That's why adultery and sodomy was against the law and was in the law books until the 60s in America, not too many years ago. It was against the law. You know why? Because this book right here was the guiding book of the principles that the United States of America was founded upon. My patriotism was not founded on the ideas of liberal professors who deny the very Word of God and the Constitution when they teach the lies of evolution and humanism. Do you know evolution goes against the Constitution of the United States? The Constitution says, our Creator. Our Creator. My patriotism was not founded on the liberal ideas of progressive laws. My patriotism was not founded on the ideas of pluralism and multiculturalism and the political correctness in all the religions of the world. It was not founded on tradition. It was founded first on the Word of God, and the Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. My patriotism was founded on the fact that the early settlers and pilgrims came to this country as God-fearing people with the intent to spread not religious freedom, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. America was not founded on religion. It was founded upon Christianity. There were times that state constitutions, before a man could hold office in the state of Delaware, he had to be a born-again Christian. He had to say publicly that I believe that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God. That's how our nation was founded. Now, if your patriotism is founded upon a tradition, it's going to be challenged in the day in which we live. And if you don't have truth to stand on, and you don't know why you stand where you stand, then you'll just change your tradition. We live in a day folks are ashamed or afraid to fly American flag, afraid they're going to offend someone. Well, if that offends you, you'll just have to be offended when you come to my house because I'm going to fly the American flag. They said, we can't believe, in Lexington, we can't believe a church would actually put the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and have all of these activities that you have. Isn't that extreme? I said, absolutely it's not extreme. It's the truth. That's what America was founded on. We had a patriotic rally in July in Lexington. We ran into a AAA baseball stadium and we had 6,300 people to attend the rally. I told you when I said it, the rally. We preached the gospel. We had over 100 people that accepted Christ, although it was not an evangelistic campaign. It was a patriotic rally. And the professors of not only the liberal universities, but even of the so-called Christian colleges, they began to write articles saying, Fugit doesn't know anything about American history. And they began to say, he's trying to stir up trouble. Well, brother, if that's stirring up trouble, I'd like to stir up a whole lot of it. We need to stir it up all over the nation. I was on a radio program. They were interviewing me about what I said. And the lady said, Pastor, would you take back those remarks that you made about America and what you believe America is? I said, no, I won't take them back. I'll repeat them. She said to me, I said, I say them all the time in church. And here's what she said, get this. She said, you can say whatever you want to say in your church, but don't say it publicly. This is not my America just in church. That's my America out there. Now, I'm concerned that our patriotism is founded on tradition rather than truth of American history and truth of the fact that it was founded on the Word of God. I'm concerned tonight about our knowledge of Bible doctrine. I'm concerned that the church, the body of believers, they don't know what they put their faith and trust in. Folks that go from a Baptist church and they'll go join a Christian church and say, well, I don't see any difference in them. Then they'll go to a Presbyterian and Methodist church and what have you, and a community church. Well, I just don't see any difference in them. Well, can I tell you, if you knew the truth of the Word of God, you would know there's a difference. And we must be careful. Look, my job is not to entertain folks when they come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My job is to preach the Word of God. My job is to preach the truth, and I'm not getting in the entertainment business. I'm not about to do it. We've got to understand the truth, what the Bible says about salvation, what the Bible says about baptism. We had a girl came to church the other day. She wanted to get baptized. I said, sure, are you a Christian? She said, I think so. I said, why do you want to get baptized? I just want to get baptized in your church. Well, you can get baptized in every creek and the holler till the tadpoles are familiar with his social security number and die and go to a devil's hell. It's not where you get baptized, it's getting born again. You see, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of death to the old life, raised to walk in the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a tradition, it's a truth. We need to understand what the Bible teaches, the Bible doctrine of Christ and God, of Christ being the God-man, the mediator between God and man. You can't get to God except through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go back and read 1 John and 2 John and understand that if you don't have Jesus Christ, you can't have God. You can't have salvation. You can't go to heaven if you deny that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And if you don't accept Him as Savior, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. I don't care what they say in their politically correct speeches of a world that's filled with freedom of religion. They're saying today, well, it doesn't matter, just so you believe in God. God said salvation through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not just saying preachers ought to know it. I'm saying boys ought to know it, and girls ought to know it, and teenagers ought to know it. Know what you believe. If you don't, you'll change when it's challenged. You can't say, I believe that because Dad believes it. You can't say, I believe that because Brother Vineyard believes it. You need to get in that old book right there and find what the Bible says and take the truth of the Word of God and hide it in your heart and stand on the truth, not on a tradition. If we follow tradition only and do not know truth, we'll exist only until that tradition has been challenged and changed. 3 weeks ago in our Lexington Liberal paper, they had an article about the Southern Baptist and the new wording of their statement of faith that came out in 2000, and their subject was Sunday, the Lord's Day. In 1963, their statement of faith said, regarding Sunday, the Lord's Day, it said, Sunday should be employed in exercises of worship and spiritual devotion, both public and private, and by refraining from worldly amusements and resting from secular employments, work of necessity and mercy only being expected. That's what was taught. In 2000, the words were changed to these regarding Sunday, the Lord's Day. They say now Sunday should include worship, and that otherwise activities on the Lord's Day should be commensurate with the Christian's conscience under the Lordship of Christ. Now, what do we follow, the Lordship of Christ or our conscience? Sounds like a Democratic Congress wrote that, doesn't it? Doesn't even agree with itself, let alone the truth. Now, do you know why they changed? Because they stopped following truth and began to follow tradition. You see, what they believed came from truths in the Word of God. For example, Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Then, when we come to the New Testament, we find that worship was on the first day of the week. Matthew 28, 1, Mark 16, 9, Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Now, from those Bible truths, they said Sunday's the Lord's Day. However, there was a group that came along that did not follow the truth of the Word of God. By the way, can I tell you, there was a day in America, in Kentucky, they had a blue law. Businesses were not allowed to be opened on Sunday. You couldn't sell. Grocery stores were closed on Sunday under the blue law. You know where the blue law came from? The Word of God, respect for the Lord's Day. But what happened is we had a lack of knowledge. We rejected the knowledge of truth and said, well, Sunday's the Lord's Day, and that's when we ought to go to church. And so they changed, and their second statement came from following a tradition that was changed by or challenged by a changing society. We need to know why we do what we do. We need to know why we come to church on Sunday. We need to know why we come back on Sunday night. We need to know why we have church on Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer meeting. We need to know why that we have organized soul winning programs. We need to know why. And it's not just tradition. It's not just, well, that's what we've always done. That's not enough, because that will be challenged and eventually changed if we don't have truth to stand upon. There are truths that we follow when it comes to dress and attire. Bible truths. Bible truths. If you ask the average churchgoer today, why do ladies wear dresses and skirts to church on Sunday? And why do men wear nice clothes? They would say, well, that's just what we've always done. Can I tell you that's not why we dress that way? Yes, maybe it is a tradition, but that tradition comes from truth, not a tradition. Now, when you dress like that on Sunday because of tradition, somebody's going to come along and say, well, I don't like that. Why do you do that? I feel more comfortable dressed some other way. I feel more comfortable wearing slacks to church, and they're modest. I feel more comfortable dressing down to come to church. Why do you believe that? Well, that's just what we've always done. If that's what you want to do, it's fine with me. Now, I'm not saying folks are not welcome to attend church. Our doors are open. We welcome sinners. We work and work to get everybody we can to come to church. But you understand what I'm saying tonight. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. That's a Bible principle. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. I read that as a boy and I laughed. I said, well, Lord, you don't ever have to worry about that. I mean, I grew up in the country. I thought nobody would be that foolish. No man would ever put on a on a dress or a necklace or a bracelet or a pair of earrings. Lord, the men wouldn't do that. Then the Bible says, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. A pastor or a man came to our church. He said, I'm going to start a church and want to know if you'll support our church. And I asked him what he believed in regards to Bible doctrine, asked him about his dress standards and so forth. And he said, well, my wife wears dresses to church. Otherwise, she just wears modest clothing. I said, what do you mean? Well, she wears modest pants in public. I said, why does she wear a dress to church? Well, that's just the way she grew up. That's what everybody does. I said, you're going to be a pastor and you're going to lead your church on tradition? I said, what about Deuteronomy 22:5? Oh, he said, I ain't talking about that. That's talking about cross-dressers. I said, well, pray tell me what a cross-dresser is. What does a man do when he's a cross-dresser? He dresses like a woman. What does a woman do when she's a cross-dresser? She dresses like a man. What does the Bible say? Men don't wear that which pertain to women. Women don't wear it which pertain to men. I preached this on Sunday morning 3 weeks ago. I believe this. You get my tape. I'm saying exactly tonight what I said in church on Sunday morning. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, get this phrase, with shamefacedness. I studied that and I found that word means bashful. There's nothing bashful about a miniskirt. That's bold, not bashful. The Bible says that a woman is supposed to dress with shamefacedness or bashful or modest and sobriety. And the Bible teaches what I'm saying tonight, we need to base what we believe not on tradition, not what others have done, but the truth of the Word of God. Take the truth of the Word of God and take a stand on the Word of God. The church has become so worldly in our day. The world is shocked. Dr. Lakin used to say the world is the churchy and the church is the worldly. I can't hardly tell the difference in the two anymore. We come to the place of the contemporary church. Contemporary music. Contemporary services. Now we've got contemporary art. A Christian contemporary artist, and of course that's a contradiction of terms. That's like saying I smoke Christian cigarettes and drink Christian beer, but an artist called me and he said, I have artwork in every state in the United States. I have artwork in 100 nations around the world. He said, I would like for you to look at my artwork and tell me what you think. He said, now, Pastor, I want to tell you, it's a very contemporary style. And he said, after reading the articles in the paper about you, I think you're going to disagree. But I'll tell you why. Just look at it and let me know what you think. And so I looked at the website, and the picture is supposed to be of Jesus. And he is standing there with long hair and a beard, a very sensual look on his face. He's a muscular fellow with a very tight T-shirt on. His sleeves are rolled up and a pair of blue jeans. Another picture was this same person, supposedly Jesus, leaned in the corner of a boxing ring. He has on a pair of boxing trunks, a robust chest and big arms. He has boxing gloves hanging over the ring and that same sensual, worldly look on his face. Beard and long hair. I called him back. He said, what'd you think? I said, well, Isaiah 53 says, he'd have no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, he humbled himself. He came as a servant. He didn't come in pride, he came in humility. I said, third of all, he has long hair. I would think Jesus would obey the Bible rather than rebel against what the Bible says about long hair. I said, and fourth of all, if that is Christ, the world already has him. There's no work to do. It represents the world. He said, you really believe that? I said, that's what the Bible says, I believe it. He said, would you say that on national television, on the Phil Donahue show? I said, I'll say it anywhere. I'm against the contemporary movement. You say, but they're so spirit-filled. I agree, but it's a wrong spirit. I went to a church and preached. Now, you have to understand, I've not been to worldly music, concerts and all of that. I don't know anything about the rock music and all of that stuff. But a fella got up to sing before I preached. He put a tape in a machine and he closed his eyes. He got a hold of the microphone. He began to move back and forth and the rock music came on. My boys looked at me. I couldn't believe it. I got up to preach and I said, folks, would you mind to stand with me and let's sing Amazing Grace? I'm so backslid right now, I don't think I could preach. We stood and we sang for a while. Brother Cora went with me to a meeting, an open-air meeting that once Dr. V.R. Lakin, Howard Cadle, great men of God preached years ago. And they brought a woman up and she does her twisting and dancing and clapping and all of that stuff. Folks, why didn't they have that in the New Testament if we're supposed to have it today? What's changed? I'm telling what's happened. We've got away from the truth of the Word of God. We don't know why we stand where we stand. And because of that, when our traditions are challenged rather than offend someone, we say, well, we just go ahead and change. Hey, it's not me. It's the old book. If you don't like it, I'm just the newspaper boy. Hey, you don't go out and whip the newspaper boy. If the forecast is bad, he can't help it. He's just throwing the newspaper out. Our job is just to preach it. I know we're not supposed to be mean. I'm not talking about that. The Bible says to preach the truth in love. And we're getting the love part, but we're missing the truth part. Why do we sing at church? Why do we come to church for Wednesday night Bible study? Why do we have preaching instead of dramas and plays? Why do we? Why do we have musicians? Why do we have the music we have? Why do we have Sunday school? Why do we have prayer in a church service? Why do we bring our tithes and give an offering to the local church? By the way, you don't give your tithe. You bring your tithe. It already belongs to Him. Now, if you want to give Him something, you can give after you've brought your tithe. Why do we baptize people? Why do we have an altar call? Why do we say amen in church? Why do we pray for the sick? Why do we pray for the unsaved and the backslidden? Why do we have a soul winning program? Why do we take to the streets and communities with the gospel of Christ? Why do we support missionaries? Why do we hold tent revivals and open air meetings and vacation Bible schools? Why do we have outreach ministries as a radio ministries? Why do we have these activities? I'll tell you why. It's not tradition. These things come from the truths of the Word of God. Oh, I'm saying tonight, we need to know as children and teens and pastors and seniors, we need to know the Word of God to know why we stand where we stand. Any activity based on tradition will eventually be challenged and changed by a changing society. But any activity based on truth cannot be stopped by threat, persecution, or death. Why did the church of Jerusalem not stop preaching when they were challenged by the local government and persecution came? I'll tell you why. They weren't following a tradition like a family reunion. They were following the truth that had been given to them to preach the gospel to every creature. And when persecution came, they didn't stop. They sped up. The local media finally said of our church, and they finally said, better leave Pastor Fugit alone. The more we write, the more he preaches. The more we say about him, the more. And I bought a half page in the paper. And I put in the paper, Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church enjoys the blessings of the Lord after all these articles. And I said, 75 new members have been added to our church in the last 6 weeks. Amen. One of my assistants wrote a letter and said, I just want to say thank you for all the letters and articles that have been written. We've had a hard time finding seats for our visitors. Would you please keep writing those articles and sending folks to our church? Why did Paul and Silas continue to spread the gospel when they were challenged by the officials? I'll tell you why. They were obeying truth. Why did Stephen keep on preaching when they began to throw stones at him? He wasn't following a tradition. He didn't say, well, I want to be like my grandpa and just be a preacher. But he believed the truth. He was delivering the truth. Why did Daniel not stop praying when they came and said, a decree has been signed by the hand of the king, you can't pray anymore? Daniel wasn't praying because of tradition. Daniel was praying because of the truth of the Word of God. And he went again. He opened his windows. He prayed as he had prayed before. Why? He was following truth. Three Hebrew boys didn't bow to the golden image. When the music began, they were following the truth. Daniel refused to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. Why? Because of truth. Why did the church at Jerusalem and the church at Antioch grow in the face of persecution and strong opposition? I'll tell you why. They were following truth. What's in your heart tonight? What if somebody challenged you about being a Baptist? What if somebody challenged you about what you believe about being saved? What if somebody challenged you and said, well, just so you believe in God, just so you have faith? What if they challenged your tradition? Can you go to the Bible and say, wait, it's not just tradition. Here's what the Word of God says. Jesus, your disciples don't follow the tradition. And Jesus said, you don't follow the truth. And by your tradition, you've made the truth ineffective. Let's follow the truths. Let's know them. Let's believe them. Let's practice them. And let's preach them. The truth of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Word of God. We can know where we stand. We can know why we do the things that we do in the local church. And I pray, Lord, that we would take the challenge tonight. And Lord, we would find the truths of the Word of God to build our families upon, our marriage upon, our churches upon, our personal walk with you on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.